Psalm 32, verse number 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Verse 5, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this psalm of testimony, for this psalm that declares, blessed or happy is the one whose sins have been dealt with. We thank thee, Lord, for the testimony we've already heard tonight of our brother who spoke of the time when his sins were dealt with, put under the blood, there in that mission or that little hall in Cookstown. And we pray, Lord, tonight, if there's one listening or one in this building who is not saved and does not know the joy of sins forgiven, that this night they will call upon the Lord for cleansing in the precious blood that he shed in Calvary and be able to sing truly, as we were singing just a few moments ago, my soul is satisfied. We thank thee there's still healing and cleansing in the blood of Christ. We rejoice the offer of mercy still is extended to the sinner. We rejoice we're still in the day of grace. O Lord, give help tonight to preacher and to hearer. Empty me of self and sinfully with thy spirit. And may God be glorified in the preaching of his word, in the receiving of it, and in the response to it. For in Christ we pray all these things. Amen and amen. If I was to go in to Mockerfeld tonight, walk down the street and ask a number of people, what is the greatest blessing that you have in your life? I wonder what the answer would be. You know, for some people, the greatest blessing that they would count is their health. And they would say, your health is your wealth. And we've heard that so often and maybe been reminded of it very recently. They would say maybe friendships or family and those relationships that I hold dear, those are the greatest blessings in my life. Maybe the position I hold, maybe the wealth I have, maybe the talents or abilities that I possess. And you know, in and of those things, there's nothing wrong at all because they are great blessings. But they are temporal blessings. They are temporal blessings. You see, time and circumstances and eventually death mean that those things that are blessings and that are precious to us, we will not be able to hold on to them. We will be severed from them. And therefore, many of the things that people hold today are not blessings that they will take into eternity. They're simply blessings that they can enjoy in life, but that's all. But I want you to think tonight about the time whenever your soul shall leave your body, the time whenever you will die. Will those things that you count to be most precious to you tonight, will they be able to go with you into eternity? Will they bring you comfort and peace in your final moments upon this earth? Praise God, there is an eternal blessing, something that death cannot take away, but it's a blessing that God gives to those who come to him in faith and seeking forgiveness and cleansing for their sin. One of the hymns in our hymn book says, I found a friend, oh such a friend, so kind and true and tender, so wise a counselor and guide, so mighty a defender. From him who loves me now so well, what power my soul can sever, shall life or death or earth or hell? No, I am his forever. And while we have to leave behind everything that we hold dear and everyone whom we hold dear, thank God that when we come to the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord Jesus will be there. The psalmist said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You see, this is an eternal blessing. This is a blessing not only in life, but praise God, this is a blessing in eternity. And even as we come to the valley, praise the Lord, this is a blessing because it is the assurance of the presence and the salvation of the Lord. Salvation is the greatest blessing you can know tonight. Man or woman, boy or girl, no matter what age you are, this is the greatest blessing you can know. Don't run after the things that you'll have to leave behind. But tonight, if you're not saved, run to Christ, because he alone can save you. My heart's desire for you tonight, for each person this gathering, for each person watching, is that you would know Christ as your Savior and the blessing that he alone can bring. I want to leave before you verse 1 of Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. There's three very simple thoughts I want to leave before you tonight as we draw our meeting to a close. You know what the word blessed is. It means happy. It means a multitude of blessings. It's actually a plural word in the Hebrew. So happinesses or blessings upon this person. And the first thought I have for you tonight is indeed the person. Because it says, blessed is he. Blessed is he. It's speaking about a person. Now, in the context of this chapter, we know that it is speaking about God's salvation being received by an individual. Now, we know that God's salvation is offered to all, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we could read this verse and be biblically and doctrinally correct by saying, blessed is she whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. We could say, blessed is the boy or blessed is the girl whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. It's speaking to all who are in the world. It's God's message to this meeting tonight that the one who is saved is the one who is blessed. This person that is spoken of is a created being. And that reminds me that every single person in this meeting tonight, every person watching online, is a created being. In the beginning, the Bible declares, God created. And we know by reading through Scripture, God created man and put within man a living soul. And that is the declaration of Scripture tonight. And that's my privilege to declare it tonight. Now, I know that many are against such truth. They hate to hear such a statement that God is your creator. They hate that with all their heart. Why? Because if life is created by God, then life is precious. And we know today life isn't viewed as precious. Life is viewed as something you can chuck away if you don't want it. But friend, life is precious. We have been created by God. The wonders of the body and the depths of the mind are still being studied and discovered by scientists. And more reveal the hand of one who is almighty and all-powerful, who has created us by the word of his power. And yet the blessings of life, are they not just taken for granted so often? Oh, we jump up into the day without even thanking the Lord for the faculties that we have, into the activities, into the work, into the leisure, into all of those different things, without considering that these are the temporal blessings of God upon us, our health and our strength. It's only when our health suffers that we tend to consider how great a blessing those things really are. And if you've been able this morning to get up and dress yourself and to be about your business, then you bow your head and you thank the Lord for the blessing, the rich blessing he has bestowed upon you. Whenever we look at the intricacies of the human body, and as I was studying this, I typed in facts about the human body, and I got sidetracked for about 45 minutes reading about all these wonderful, amazing facts, and I couldn't pick the top three or anything like that. I encourage you to go and do that. The human body is absolutely amazing, the intricacies of it. The very human cell and the billions of them within the human body, but one little human cell within itself. And you look at it and you see it under a microscope, and you know what you see? You see the might and the power and the wisdom of a creator God. Friend, this isn't chance. This isn't some accident of nature. You're here tonight because God has created you and God has a message for you. And not only are you a created being, but you are a spiritual being. And God breathed into man a living soul. And God has blessed us with that soul. That's a part of us that cannot die. Yes, the body will die someday, but the soul will never die. Peter described it in this way in 2 Peter 1:14. He said, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. And he described the body as a tent. And the soul lives in the tent for a little while, and then at death the soul is released and goes into eternity. That's what Abraham was thinking about. He was looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Your body is your temporal dwelling place, but praise God, Christian, we're going to an eternal dwelling place made by the hands of God that is eternal. There's a lovely hymn I like to listen to that a Christian, or the hymn writer, has written about the Christian's wonderful perspective of going to heaven. And it says these words, to Canaan's land I'm on my way, where the soul never dies. My darkest night will turn to day, where the soul never dies. No sad farewells, no tear-dimmed eyes, where all is love and the soul never dies. But it's only those who are saved by the grace of God can say, it's well with my soul. And my soul is ready to go whenever the Lord comes or the Lord calls. Only those who are washed in the blood, only those who have turned from their sin, only those who have called on the Lord for salvation are going there to glory where the soul never dies, because the rest, those who are not saved, they're going to hell, also where the soul never dies. Eternal punishment, judgment and damnation. But there's something else about this person. Not only have we thought about a created being, not only have we thought about a spiritual being, but it is an individual being. And yes, it's true that blessed are the many who are saved, but this is written in the singular. And I believe there's a reason for that, because it's speaking of an individual. This is significant. Only those who have been saved by the grace of God can say, I am ready for heaven. You know, there might be children this meeting tonight, and you're listening and you're hearing about being saved, and you know your mom and your dad are saved, but you're not saved. You need to ask the Lord to save you. Maybe it's a husband that's saved, or a wife that's saved, and the other spouse is not. Maybe it's someone in your family. Maybe the rest of your family are all saved and you're not. Friend, that does not mean anything for you. You need to be saved personally. You personally need to call upon the Lord for your salvation. Salvation is an individual matter. It's where the soul is dealing with God and God is dealing with the soul. And praise God, God can save by many or by few, but each individual sinner must come before the Lord, confessing their sin and calling on the Lord for salvation. No preacher can save any man or woman, boy or girl. No Christian can save the soul of another. Yes, we can pray for the Lord to work. Yes, we can preach the gospel. But that soul will only be saved whenever they turn to the Lord in faith. And therefore, as we think about the person, and that's our first thought tonight, let me ask every person this meeting, how is it with your soul? Are you blessed tonight? Because the opposite of being blessed in scriptural terms is to be damned. Are you blessed, saved, and on your way to heaven? Are you damned in your sin on your way to hell? The second thing I want you to notice tonight, we've noticed the person. Notice, secondly, the problem. Because there are two words that are used here that highlight man's great problem. The first one is transgression, and the second one is sin. The word transgression means rebellion. It means to revolt. It's from a word which means to break away from just authority. And that's exactly what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. They broke away from just authority. You see, it's not that the Lord was asking them to do something that was going to harm them or was going to be detrimental to them. In fact, it was the exact opposite. But is that not the lie that the devil presents? God's holding back on you. Oh, if you become a Christian, your life's going to be ruined. Oh, you're going to lose all your fun. You're going to lose your joy. You're going to lose the pleasure. You're going to lose the experiences that you should have in life. Friend, that's a lie from the pit of hell. And how many people believe such nonsense? How many people are walking about today, maybe sitting in this church tonight, and your attitude toward the Lord is, the Lord only wants to spoil my life. Is that your attitude tonight? Friend, such foolishness. Look at the scripture. Look at the blessings that are for the believer. Look at the promises that God gives to his people. Look at the gifts he provides for his people. Look at the joy he promises his people. He gives life, abundant life, eternal life, peace with God, the peace of God, assurance and power and grace and victory and hope. And it's only a fool who knows nothing really of scripture that would turn around and say, the Lord wants to spoil my life, friend. He wants to save it. He wants to save it from the damage or from the scars of sin, from the punishment of sin and hell. Oh, friend, he wants to save it and make you new tonight. He wants you to know what life truly is all about. And we're born with that rebellion against God as our nature. Oh, we don't want to be told what to do. Nobody will tell me what to do, where to go, what to believe. I'll not be submitting to anybody. I'll do my own thing. But the reality is, if you have never been saved, then you're guilty of transgression. you're guilty of transgression. 1 John 3:4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. Sin is rebelling against what God has called us to do. And that brings us to the next word. It's the word sin, and the word sin there means an offence. Now, we have the word sin in Scripture, and the word sin that's used in Scripture, there's four or five different words in the original, and they all mean different things, and when you put them together, it gives you a full view of what sin really is. But this word that's translated sin in Psalm 32, verse 1, it means this, an offence. An offence. And that is what sin is. Sin is an offence. All sin offends a holy God. This is a God whom the angels worship, crying, holy, holy, holy. This is the one at whose voice the earth trembles, at whose voice the skies were placed, at whose voice the skies will be rolled up like a scroll. This is the one who is holy. He cannot overlook sin. He cannot ignore sin, but he will deal with it, he will judge it, he will punish it, and all sin will be dealt with either in the person of Christ as a substitute for the sinner or in hell whenever the soul is condemned to hell. How many people today, and this is their attitude, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not offending anyone. Just let me get on with my way and my life. Friend, that's not true. Every word of sin, every thought of sin, every deed of sin, everything that you do as a sinner is sinful and it is offending God. Can I say that every lie that is told is offensive to God and will be dealt with? And could I also remind believers that that is true? Friend, we are saved to be different from this world. The things that mark the unsaved ought not to mark the Christian. And dear believer, you ought never to open your mouth to lie as a representative of the Lord. Every bitter thought of hatred towards another is offensive to God and will be dealt with. I say that to the Christian as well. Praise God, our sins are under the blood. But I'll tell you, if we sin as believers willfully, deliberately, the Lord will deal with us. The Lord will chastise us to bring us back to the place of blessing and obedience and Christlikeness. And therefore, one of the greatest deterrents of sin is this: my sin offends my Creator. And sin and transgression, those two things, oh, what words they are. We're rebellious against God. We're offensive to God. And the result of such is separation from the Lord. Separated from God in life by our sin. And separated from God in eternity because of our sin. In John 8:24, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, he says, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sin. That doesn't mean just to agree that there was someone called the Lord Jesus Christ who lived and died on a cross so many years ago. It means to act in faith upon that knowledge. And if you do not exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon him for salvation, ye shall die in your sin. And then he says in John 8:21, and shall die in your sin. Whether I go, ye cannot come. A friend, if you die in your sin tonight, you'll never be where God is. If you die in your sin tonight, you'll never be in heaven. If you die in your sin, then for all eternity, it'll be the place of outer darkness. Have you still got the problem of sin? Maybe you've sat for decades. Maybe you've listened to meetings for decades. And you can nearly preach a gospel message better than any other preacher, but you're not yet saved. And that's a problem that needs to be dealt with now. Because if you are not saved tonight, then you're damned. You're a heartbeat from hell. And where the Lord is, you cannot come. We've thought about the person in this verse. We've thought about the problem. But let us think about the provision finally. the provision. There's two words used here that are beautiful, wonderful, gospel, biblical words. First of all, the word forgiven. Now, the word forgiven is a very interesting word, and I did not know this, certainly in this particular verse, until I was studying it this week. The word forgiven, it means to lift. To lift. It also means to bear. And when we are forgiven and we ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive our sins, you know what happens? The burden of our sin is lifted by the Lord. That's what it is to be forgiven. But something must be done with this sin that's been lifted. And that other meaning of the word forgiven means to bear. And Christ can lift our sins because he first bore them on the cross of Calvary. When I tell someone I'm forgiven, I'm a Christian, I'm declaring that Christ has borne my sin on the cross of Calvary and lifted the burden of my sin when I called upon him to save me. We are forgiven because another has borne the burden and the guilt of our sin. You know what Numbers 14:18 says? The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. And here's what it says. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. What does the Lord do with that transgression? Well, it says in Isaiah 43:25, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own sake. I will not remember thy sin. Isaiah 44:22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgression, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. We're also told in the book of Micah that he will cast our sins into the depths of the sea. There's a lady called Sheila, some years ago, was a factory worker in Belfast in the early part of the 1900s. Her health broke down and the doctor advised that she went to the seaside. And she went up to Portrush, and she walked one day and sat down there at the Giant's Causeway and looked out over the sea with her Bible in her lap. And as she sat there looking out over the waves breaking on the Giant's Causeway, the verse of scripture in Micah came to her mind, thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. A few months later, that dear lady was called home to be with the Lord. And whenever they were clearing out her things, they found this little note written on a piece of paper in her Bible that was in that passage in Micah. I will cast in the depths of the fathomless sea all thy sins and transgressions, whatever they be. Though they mount up to heaven, though they sink down to hell, they shall sink in the depth, and above them shall swell all the waves of my mercy. So mighty and free, I will cast all thy sins in the depths of the sea. That dear lady wrote that sitting at the Giant's Causeway as she saw the sea and realized her sins are gone. Not only does the Lord forgive our sins, but he covers our sins. And this is very important as well, because our sins are under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When a sinner comes, the Lord covers our sin with his blood. And in covering our sin with the blood, he wipes it out, he removes it, he takes it away, he deals with it. You see, his suffering has dealt with our sin. That's what we mean when we talk about power in the blood. The work of Christ in the cross, as he shed his precious blood, is able to deliver us from our sin. Adam tried to cover his sin with fig leaves. Achan tried to cover his sin with soil and dirt. David tried to cover his sin with lies and schemes. Many try to cover their sin with good works or religion. Some even ignore the fact that they have sin and the fact that they'll give an account to God. But whatever you're trying to cover your sin with, it will be exposed. All sin will be exposed that is not under the blood of Christ. And I would say to you, do not be so concerned about what other people think of you as much as what the Lord thinks of you and how the Lord sees you. Whenever we have an accident or a fall and we go to the hospital and we're told we're getting an x-ray, well, we just take that as normal. We take that as something that is just automatically done. But it wasn't always the case that that was a possibility. And whenever the first X-ray machines were invented and they were being used, there was a Christian man, and he spoke about the time he got an X-ray upon his body and how much in awe and wonder he was in, because he couldn't believe something had looked within. And he said, the screen was moved over my body and I could see through a veil of flesh. I saw the bones plainly. As I looked at my feet, the very tacks of the shoes were seen as well. And then as the screen was moved up, we could see the outline of the heart. And he said that he knew there was something there pumping within. He says, that's what man can see. And he said, it was so humble to lie in that bed in that hospital and realize God can see it all. God can look right in. Friend, he can see every thought tonight. God looketh upon the heart. Do you know that Christ is in this verse? Do you know Christ is in Psalm 32, verse 1? How do I know that? Because he's the only one who can forgive. He's the only one who can cover. Friend, Christ is the only one who can deal with your sin. And I'll tell you, you know what the work of salvation does? It transforms an individual. Transforms an individual. There was a young girl one time who was always complaining, dissatisfied with her home life, always complaining about her grievances. She was so discontented in her voice and her look and her manner. And one day somebody saw her walking down the street and she had a smile on her face and she had a bright step, and they wondered, what's wrong? What's happened? They went up and they said, has things changed in your home? She said, no, everything in my home is exactly the same. But last week I came and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and he's changed me. You see, friend, the problem isn't the world that we're living in. The problem's us. The sin of our heart. That's what offends a holy God. And some people blame this and some people blame that. You know what the person who'll be in heaven has to do? Say, Lord, I am the problem. I'm the sinner. I deserve thy punishment. But I'm praying, Lord, that you will save me. I want to finish just with this little thought. And one time in New York, there was a man who helped out a New York rescue mission. And he made it his job to go about taking people off the street, dealing with alcohol and drug abuse and people who had been abused and all of this. And one day, he invited one of his friends, who was a top doctor at one of the New York's best hospitals. And he came in, and as he sat in that rescue mission, person after person got up and started to speak and tell of how the Lord had transformed their lives. And afterwards, because the doctor was such an eminent person, they invited him to get up and speak to the people who gathered. He wasn't a Christian. And he said, tonight I've been given the opportunity to observe something I did not know existed anywhere. It has been my privilege to listen to the testimony of men and women who were glad to witness what Christ has done for them. I know nothing about that, but I confess I cannot otherwise explain what has taken place in their lives. A few of these people I recognize as drunkards, as drug addicts. Some of them have come under my observation in the hospital. And had you asked me today where they were, I would have said they're buried long ago. But here they are alive, well-dressed, delivered, and in the right mind. I do not know how the miracle has been wrought, but of one thing I am confident, nothing in science can account for this change in them. That kind of gospel is worth preaching to everyone, everywhere. Friend, that kind of gospel is worth preaching. Because the Lord Jesus Christ transforms lives. And maybe you're in the grip of addiction tonight. Maybe you're in the grip of drink tonight. Maybe you're in the grip of drugs tonight. Maybe you're in the grip of immorality tonight. Maybe you're in the grip of sin that nobody else knows about. My God can save you. Praise God, he can deliver you. Your transgressions will be forgiven. Your sin will be covered. You'll be a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll be able to say, I'm blessed tonight. I am blessed tonight. Because Christ is my Savior. And the man or the woman or boy or girl who comes to Christ and asks the Lord to save him can do these three things. They can look back and know that their sins are under the blood. They can look forward and know that no matter what happens, their soul is safe in God's keeping. And they can look around them and know that God has ordained that they would live in this time. And there's grace for every step they have to take today and every circumstance. As we close tonight, I want to ask you this. Are you blessed? Truly, eternally blessed? Are you ready, if the Lord should come or call, being able to say, my transgression, my sins dealt with? Because there was a day, a moment, when I called in the name of the Lord. Praise God, I was saved. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And maybe there's someone tonight, and you know that you need to be saved. You know that the Lord is calling you. I don't know. I can only look an outward appearance, but God's looking at your heart tonight. Friend, do you need to be saved? Bow your head tonight and call on the Lord. Oh, he will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now. Maybe you would like to speak to me after the meeting. I'm over here by the organ for a little while. Please just come over and we'll chat together. Maybe you're at home. Why not call on the Lord to save you tonight? He's ready. Praise God, he's willing and he's able. Oh, what a day it will be when we gather into heaven to meet those who have gone before. Will you be there? Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight that there is forgiveness and a covering in the blood of Christ. Lord, we have no hope save that of the Lord Jesus and his death and resurrection, the blood he shed to cleanse us and make us free. And humbly we bow before thee, those of us who are saved, and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, I'm on my way to heaven. Thank you, Lord, Christ liveth in me. And I pray, Lord, tonight for that dear man or woman, boy or girl, who's not saved. Lord, should they die or be called tonight, they will go to hell. But I thank you, Lord, you've given them another opportunity to hear the gospel. Jesus saves and satisfies. And may tonight be the night of their salvation. The night their name is written in the Lamb's book of life. The night they are blessed beyond all measure through calling on the Lord for salvation. Give grace tonight, we pray. What has been of man, let it fall to the ground and perish, but what has been of Christ, let it speak on and prosper. Give us tokens for good, we pray. Build thy kingdom tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen.